on the Colorado State Sports Network, powered by Canvas Credit Union. From Learfield IMG College, this is the Colorado State Insider with the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Colorado State Insider Podcast. It's presented by The Group. We appreciate you joining us once again here this week. Brian Roth, your host. And before we get to the show, as always, we do invite you to subscribe to the podcast. And if you can, leave a review. It certainly helps us out. If you do find the podcast on csurams.com, great, that's terrific. But if you consume your podcast other places, you can also consume this podcast, the Colorado State Insider Podcast, other places as well. Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Spotify, I mean, wherever you listen to your podcast, we certainly invite you to subscribe to this one. All right, welcome everybody. Brian Roth, voice of the Rams with you. And if you're a Colorado State basketball fan, whether you're more of a women's fan or if you're more of a men's basketball fan, it's a great time to be a Ram basketball fan right now because both programs are excelling and both programs are bona fide contenders in the Mountain West Conference. The men sitting at 11-3 in the season, 8-2 in conference play. The women are 10-2 overall, 6-2 in conference play. The women tied for first place in the Mountain West. The men just sitting behind in second place. So, with that being said, hey, we have a ton of Colorado State basketball talk coming your way, and we'll talk a lot about the men's win at Utah State last Thursday. What a victory it was for Nico Medved and a Colorado State basketball team that showed great resiliency. And then, of course, yeah, there's a huge matchup with Boise State coming up here this week, Wednesday and Friday at Moby Arena. We'll hear from head coach Nico Medved about the matchup against Boise State, what he sees when he looks at with the Broncos. And you know what? Look, this is a huge matchup, not just because it's going to help decide the Mountain West Conference champion at the midway point now of the conference schedule, but this is an absolutely gargantuan week when it comes to NCAA hopes and tournament aspirations. It's a Colorado State team that is firmly a bubble team when you look at NCAA projections, and this series with Boise State represents a huge, huge opportunity to bolster that resume. And then we'll also talk a little bit about the conference tournament coming up. And there's been some discussion around college basketball and whether or not there should be conference tournaments here this year. So that's what we'll talk about on the men's side of things. We'll also listen to some of the highlights, by the way, of the game last Thursday, the victory at Utah State. As for the women, they have a big series upcoming this week, just like the men against Boise State. The Broncos have kind of been the cream of the crop in the Mountain West Conference on the women's basketball side of things, and they have represented the Mountain West Conference the last three NCAA tournaments, and well, they're right there in the thick of things with CSU in that Mountain West Conference race. So two huge games in Boise coming up this week for Ryan Williams and that Colorado State women's basketball team. And finally on the program, we will hear from Brian Bedard. He's a CSU track and field coach. We had him on our weekly radio show Ram Jam last week and talked to him about the delay in the season, the start now of a shortened indoor season. Of course, you have outdoor season looming coming up, and well, they got their season started at the Air Force Invitational here this past week. We had Brian before that Air Force Invitational, but we'll listen to some of his thoughts and give us a little bit of a preview of what he expects out of his team. Remember, the men's team, the Colorado State men's indoor track and field team, three of the last four Mountain West Conference championships. The women have won an indoor championship recently, so CSU track and field has been humming here of late. All right, well, let's get started with Colorado State men's basketball. And, man, what a week it was last week. And it's a Colorado State team that seemingly has been on the road forever. And as you know, I do travel with the team. There's a lot of radio broadcasts across the nation that are not traveling for the sport of basketball. In fact, I don't know if any of the Pac-12 broadcasters are traveling with the teams. I know most of the Big 12 is not. I'm not sure about some of the other conferences further east. Most of my colleagues and my friends in the broadcasting business that are doing collegiate games are either in the Pac-12 or the Big 12. But here in the Mountain West, I think we're about, what, two or three of us are actually traveling. But as you know, I have been traveling with the Colorado State men's basketball team. It's been a long 2 weeks now, okay? This is a Ram basketball team that was in Phoenix. We were in Phoenix for 5 days. came home. We're home for one day on a Sunday, January the 17th. And then on Monday the 18th, we traveled to Logan, Utah. We were there all week for a Tuesday and Thursday night affair at Utah State. And then finally got back at about 3 in the morning on Friday morning of last week. So it's been an interesting time because this team has been away from home so often and playing on the road. It's almost felt like an NBA schedule. But man, wrapping up that huge road trip to Phoenix and then Logan, Utah, and to do it in the style that the Rams did made everything worth it. And of course, Colorado State got a huge win on Thursday night of last week, the victory at Utah State. Now, to recap the entire week, I mean, look, we talked about it on the podcast last week, the Utah State loss, 83-64, in game one of that two-game series. And CSU just flat-out got dominated. I mean, they got pounded there in Logan, Utah. And it left CSU doing a little bit of soul-searching. And not soul-searching to try to save a season, but soul-searching in how were you going to respond and react to a rematch against the same team that just pounded you just two nights later. And again, being on the road around this basketball team, on Wednesday, this was a coaching staff that went back. We sat down, film, and they went through every single play of that 19-point loss in which they didn't think the intensity or the effort or the focus for their Colorado State team did not match the Utah State energy, intensity, and focus. And it was a long list of plays. It was a lot of cut-ups from that 19-point loss, and you could just sense in that room that it was a humbling moment for that Colorado State men's basketball team. I mean, that was not a fun film session for those guys. But the point was going to be driven home one way or another by that Ram coaching staff, and they did a marvelous job in doing that. And they just showed clip after clip after clip of where Colorado State could have been quicker to a pass defensively, could have been pressuring more, could have fought through a ball screen rather than just accept it. There were so many examples of where CSU just did not play as hard as they needed to play. And we talked about it on the podcast last week. I mean, Nico Medved told us following the game on Tuesday, and again, the 19-point blowout loss, that Utah State was playing at about a 9 or a 10 intensity. Colorado State matched it with about a 6.5-7 intensity. And you just cannot go on the road against a really good team like Utah State in a building where they hardly lose, in front of fans for the first time all year, and come out and be a couple of notches below Utah, what Utah State is bringing intensity-wise. And that was all that the Colorado State coaching staff was preaching. Yeah, they made some minor tweaks defensively and offensively, but really the sole purpose of the day and a half to get the Rams ready for game two of that two-game set was to drill home to this team that they had to come out with their hair on fire on Thursday night. They had to do it. And guess what? Colorado State did. I mean, you could tell the opening two defensive possessions of that game, Colorado State was playing at a much higher intensity level. And in the end, it helped propel Colorado State to the victory. Now, there were some excellent performances in that contest, and we're going to listen to the highlights here in just a moment. But, you know, it's a Ram basketball team that, despite the fact that they came out with that increased intensity and focus, they still got down 19-9 in that game, in game two. You're thinking to yourself, oh, boy. Could this start to get away from CSU early? Because the crowd was into it. Utah State was into it at one point right after a timeout. Craig Smith, of course, the former Ram assistant coach, now in his third year as the head coach at Utah State, I mean, came running across the floor towards the student section, pumping his fist and screaming at the students to get fired up. That was a situation where it had the same type of feel that the Tuesday night game had. Nico Medved had called the timeout, and boy, out of the timeout, after the Rams were down 19-9, CSU came back on an 18-2 run, and it was spurred by Deshaun Thomas, the 6'9" sophomore out of Phoenix, came off the bench for Colorado State. Now, remember, Thomas began the season as a starter, got replaced by James Moores. They were bringing him off the bench, and Deshaun comes in and scores 11 points in that 18-2 run, including three threes, and just completely got Colorado State back in the game and in the lead, which they held for the rest of the first half. An incredible performance by Deshaun Thomas. I'm not sure if CSU wins that game without Deshaun Thomas getting him back in that game and giving them a little equanimity, because again, CSU's intensity was good in the early portion of that game. They were still down 19-9. And for Deshaun to kind of get them back in the game, it kind of reinforced to, I think, the team that the intensity level was right where it needed to be. If you just kept playing your tails off, you were going to put yourself in position to win the basketball game. And guess what? Colorado State won the basketball game. 84-76 was the final score at Utah State on Thursday night. And look at it now. I mean, the Rams, they go on the road to San Diego State. They get a split. And then they go on the road to Logan, Utah against the Aggies. They get a split with Utah State. Those are two huge and two of the toughest road trips to go on and to get splits. It speaks well for this Colorado State basketball team. All right, let's hit the rewind button and take you back to Thursday night from the Spectrum in Logan, Utah. And we're underway. Cato will win the tip against James Moores, and Utah State will get the opening offensive possession of the contest. Right wing Wooster outside the arc. Freshman point guard. Miller top of the key. Catch and shoot three. Good. It's a tough shot. Kata drives inside. Spins. Lip fake goes up. Lays it in. Top of the key between the rings to Kendall Moore. Five on the shot clock. Now to Deshaun Thomas. Fires it deep. Three. Book it for DT. His third triple of this two-game series. It's a big one. Gets the Rams up off the mat. Got it to Stevens, drives inside, kicks out to Thomas, another three. Deshaun knocks home another. Deshaun Thomas. B.J. Bird right to left, out of backcourt for Colorado State, clad in their green visiting uniforms tonight. Into the paint, here's David Roddy, lip fake on the inside, kicked out. Tanjay, wide open three, bingo. A much better and spirited effort by the green and gold here tonight. And they'll take a lead into the intermission. Here comes Wooster into the forward court for Utah State. Right wing, off the screen. Pull up two, good. First four out of halftime go to Utah State 39-37, and the Aggies have their first lead since the 12-minute mark. Gonna launch a deep three, barely draws. Iron rebound, David Roddy comes up with it. Now to Stevens, fakes the three, drives in the lane, hands off Thomas, dunks it home! Beautiful feed from Stevens. Thomas, the beneficiary, the easy flush. Into the forward court, here comes Utah State. Ashworth on the angle left. Ball knocked away from him, stolen, forward court. Here comes Stevens, drives right, lays it up and in. Beautifully done, the touch of a thief. Isaiah Stevens, 48-46, Colorado State up by two. Right wing, it's Bean trying to drive on Roddy. Sends it to the corner. Wooster three. Good. And it ties us up at 50. Wooster with seven in the contest. Top of the key, it's Stevens. Got it to Roddy. David trying to answer. Head of the key. Absolutely. Roddy from downtown. Right back at you. 53-50. CSU back up by three. Trying to survey the zone, skip pass, here's Ashworth, now on the angle left, Nimish Keita's back in the seven-footer, skip pass, Ashworth, open three, fakes it, drives inside, ball stripped away from him, loose, came to Miller, gonna fire a three, air ball, shot clock violation. Boy, another great defensive stand by the green and gold, 5:39 to go, 60-56. High post to Roddy, kicked out to Moore, fakes, no, he's gonna fire the three, on target. 63-56, the Rams have matched their large lead of the night. It sits at seven. Air ball came right to James Moores. Hands off to Kendall Moore. Got in the forecourt. Here's David Roddy going to go and throws down with the tomahawk dunk. A 12-point game with a minute left. That will do it. A resounding win for Colorado State. The resilient Rams get the 84-76 win, and in the process, they snap Utah State's 11-game win streak. All right, some of the sounds from last Thursday night with Colorado State's 84-76 win over Utah State. And with the victory, Rams going to 11-3 in the season, 8-2 in Mountain West Conference play and gaining that huge road split. All right, so now we look ahead to what's coming up here this week. And you thought those games were huge in Logan, Utah, which they were. These two games coming up against Boise State are absolutely monster games. Coming up on Wednesday night, 7 p.m., game one of the two games set. Friday night represents game number two, but that's a late tip-off once again. 9 p.m. on FS1 coming up on Friday night. And this is a opportunity for Colorado State to bolster that resume. Now, we're going to get a little bit more into what the NCAA picture looks like as we record this podcast on January 26th. So still a lot of basketball to be played before you get to Selection Sunday. But make no mistake, the two games against Boise State this week are the last two chances on the Rams' schedule to get real defining victories that the committee is going to look at and say, yes, those are good wins. There'd be quad one wins if you can get the job done. But then after that, the rest of the schedule for the Rams, there's no more opportunities like this to, again, bolster that resume. All right, quick look at Boise State, give you a little bit of a preview. We'll go more in depth on this as we get to Wednesday night, and you can tune into our pregame show starting at 6:30 Wednesday night with myself and former Ram Adam Nygon. But Boise State, 13-1 on the season. They're 9-0 in conference play. They have won 13 straight games. So they open up the season on November the 27th, which seems like a long time ago. They would lose to Houston on the road, 68-58. And, of course, Houston is a really good team. They're a top-10 team and certainly forgivable. But since then, the Broncos have ripped off 13 consecutive victories, 13 straight for the Broncos. They have been playing terrific basketball. Now, you look at the schedule, and it hasn't been overly tough, but mixed in there in those 13 consecutive wins, they did go to the Marriott Center in Provo, and they beat a good BYU team, a team that's going to be an NCAA tournament team. They beat BYU on the 9th of December, 74-70. And that is never easy to go into BYU. So they have that one real good win on their resume. But you look at who they've played in the Mountain West Conference. And they have played the bottom five teams in the conference. They got a sweep against New Mexico. They swept San Jose State. They swept Air Force. Swept Wyoming and Laramie. And they are coming off a win against Fresno State from last Wednesday. The Fresno State game on Friday of last week got postponed due to a positive test in the Boise State program. Now, we were thinking to ourselves, uh-oh, this huge matchup for Colorado State and really the huge opportunity to build your NCAA resume for Colorado State may go by the wayside here if Boise State does have some COVID issues with a positive test and subsequent contact tracing. But it turned out to be a false positive, and they retested the staff member or player. They didn't go into specifics on that, but it came back negative, so it was a false positive. Broncos resumed practicing on Sunday, and the games, as of now, as we record this on Tuesday, the 26th, is back on, which is really, really good news. But to go back to the schedule, again, New Mexico's awful. San Jose State, awful. Air Force having a tough year. Wyoming, they just swept Nevada, so Rams will have trouble up in Wyoming just because it's a rivalry game and they look to be improved to where they were last year. But Boise State went in and won at Wyoming. Then Fresno State, we saw them earlier this season. Rams rolled the Bulldogs twice. Fresno State is very average. And again, you look at that schedule and say, okay, Broncos are sitting at 9-0 in conference play, but they really haven't played anybody. All of that being true, but let's also take into account here with this, because Boise State's really good. I mean, despite the fact that they really haven't played anybody but BYU and Houston, they are really good. And listen to this. During the 13-game win streak for the Broncos, 11 of the 13 wins have come by double digits, 8 of the 13 wins by at least 20 points, and 4 of those 13 wins have been 30-point or more blowouts. They have won 6 Mountain West Conference games by at least 20 points here this season. So you look at what they've done against the bad teams in the Mountain West. They are winning on average in Mountain West Conference play by 23 points per game. So while their schedule hasn't been tough yet, and it's going to get a whole lot tougher starting Wednesday night at Moby Arena, while they haven't played the good teams in the Mountain West Conference, they have absolutely destroyed the bad teams in the Mountain West Conference, which says something. I mean, look, it's not Boise State's fault that they haven't played the top teams in the conference, but they have taken care of business against those teams. Now, you look at Boise State's schedule to close out the year. At Colorado State, obviously coming up Wednesday and Friday. On the road at Nevada, who seems to be up and down. They're highly skilled and talented, but man, I mean, Nevada got swept at Wyoming this past week. Then you get UNLV and Utah State, a couple of two-game series at home in the middle of February. Then they close out at San Diego State. I mean, so those are tough games to close out the season for the Broncos. And while they sit at 9-0 in the conference right now, I can guarantee you they will not close out the season undefeated in conference play. And not that anybody thought they would, but the fact remains is that they got a lot of work to do as they move forward. When you look at Boise State, and it's really the way that Leon Rice has started to build his teams, and Leon now in his 11th season, and although I'm not a huge fan of the antics of Leon Rice, I don't think there's a coach that grouses and complains more to the officials in the Mountain West Conference than does Leon Rice. Man, you can't take away of what he's done. I mean, Leon Rice has been terrific there at Boise State, and he has turned himself into one of the premier coaches in the Mountain West Conference. I mean, he just has. But the way he has really built his program, especially of late, is to go the transfer route. And that's the way Boise is built right now. Now, they do still have some really good players that have come up through the program. And that does include senior Derek Alston Jr. And he's an all-Mountain West Conference guy, and they've done a great job of developing him. I mean, Alston didn't even play as a freshman, and then all of a sudden he turned into an all-Mountain West Conference guard at 6'9", one of the best shooters in the league, and just hurt you so many ways. He was a kid they got out of high school. They also got Ray J. Dennis, their point guard out of high school, Max Rice, of course, Leon's son, came out of high school, but virtually everybody else transfers. And you look at some of those transfers that have made big-time impacts. Abu Kijab, 6'7", senior out of Oregon, played with him last year. Rams didn't see him because he wasn't eligible until second semester of last year, and the Rams only played Boise State once last season, and it was in December. But you look at Kijab, came from Oregon. You get a couple of the Arizona guys in Emmanuel Acott, a real athletic 6'8" guard. Then you also have a Devonair Dutrieve is another one of those Arizona transfers. And then Marcus Shaver Jr., who is a transfer from Portland, averaged 15 points a game at Portland last year, averaging around 13, 14 points a game here this season. Then they brought in a big man, and Madeline Ormis, and he's a kid from East Tennessee State, 6'10", 235. So they've done a lot of their business by going the transfer route, and let's be honest, it's worked out for him. In particular, this year for Boise State, it's really worked out. And Nico Medved calls him the most talented Boise State team that he has faced in the Mountain West Conference. And this is probably, you can make the argument, the most talented team in the Mountain West Conference. Doesn't mean they're going to end up as a conference champ, and it doesn't mean that the Rams can't sweep them here this week. But when you look at just skill set of guys and athleticism, this Boise State team, you can make the argument, is the most talented team in the Mountain West Conference. All right, well, let's get more thoughts from head coach Nico Medved. We spoke to him last night, Monday evening, on the Coors Light Colorado State Basketball Coaches Show, and I asked him about the upcoming series with the Broncos at Boise State.
Boise they're a terrific team. I mean, they are so athletic and talented and versatile. And they have so many guys who can score. It's like you look at it and you're like, oh, we did a great job on Alston, and you know, two other guys go off. You know, Alston, it's just they're so dynamic. So many guys who can score. They're so good in transition. They're so good on the glass. And just when you think you've kept them down for, 15, 20 minutes, then bam, somebody else steps up, or they go on these huge scoring runs. And so, they are where they've won 13 in a row for a reason. They're a terrific team, and it's going to be a real challenge for us.
Again, Boise's sitting at 13-1 in the season. They're atop the Mountain West Conference, 9-0. They've won 13 straight games. Are you surprised at how well Leon Rice has gotten so many different pieces to connect and intertwine? Because they have so many transfers. Of course, Kijab, transfer from Oregon, played last year. But the Acott kid from Arizona, he's a new piece this year. They just got the Dutrieve kid, yeah, another Arizona guy, back like six games ago. They have a guard in Marcus Shaver that sat out last year. He's from Portland. And he seemed to have mixed them all in pretty well.
He has. You got to give him a ton of credit. I mean, you're right. For so many new faces and all that, I think one thing that was different, those guys all redshirted last year, right? So at least they were in the program and they were practicing together. Right. They were on the scout team, you know, so on and so forth. So I think that helps having those guys in your program for a year and having a feel for it. But it is. It's a huge credit to them to get those guys to play the way that they do, and they play together, and they're very, very good.
Yep. All right, final thought. Wouldn't it be a lot of fun if we're talking about these two games coming up here this week?
I already know where you're going.
And we had fans. I mean, can you imagine? Because, listen, Ram fans are pumped about your ball club. Just from my interaction with them, whether it be personally or on social media, they're fired up about this team. And, man, this is a huge, huge week of basketball, Nico. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You know, it did.
Either way.
It's hit me a lot of times, but it did hit me this week. I kept thinking about, you know, as you're coming here and you're trying to, you know, continue to build for these moments and what this could have been like, you know, here of just having a packed Moby and students going nuts. The students are all back now here and just thinking about what thinking about what this could be.
Yep.
But you know what? You think about that, and that's normal, but then you let it go. We get to play. Fans will be watching. Both these games are on TV, and I think it's just regardless. Our guys just love to compete, and once this game starts, we've kind of got used to the environment, and it's going to be a blast. But you're right. There is a certain level of, oh, man, that's what if. You know what I mean? What if.
All right, so there's head coach Nico Medved, and yeah, man, I tell you, would you not – love to see Moby Arena packed this week on Wednesday and Friday for these two games with Boise State. I mean, wouldn't that be fun to have 7,000-8,000 fans at Moby Arena for these two games? Obviously, it would make a huge difference. Home court advantage kind of gets marginalized with no fans. But, hey, listen, I mean, you saw Utah State at 1,600 fans last week. And trust me, being in that building for both of those games, it made a big, big difference. But, man, if you could have had this in a normal year, this would be a series in which Moby Arena would be absolutely rocking. The students are back, and you know that you would have big crowds. You'd have the pep band in there. It would have been a lot of fun, but alas, that is not to be, as there will be no fans coming up here this week. All right, you know, we mentioned that this represents really the last resume-building series for Colorado State. Now, that's not to say that the rest of the series are not important, because obviously you got to still keep winning if you want to go to the NCAA tournament. And this is a CSU basketball team that has a lot of work to do. Now, you look around the nation and all these bracket prognosticators out there and say, okay, what are the chances the Rams have right now? Where are they? And right now, I think you can firmly place them as a bubble team. Now, one of the websites I like to go to and just kind of check out the big picture, the 30,000-foot aerial view of the Rams' chances, it's called Bracket Matrix. And what it does is it takes 77 brackets, the prognosticators out there, and from 77 different websites, and it puts them in a matrix, and it gives you an average score, and it tells you where they would be in the bracket. Now, Colorado State isn't necessarily in the overall bracket matrix. They, of the 77 websites, Colorado State appeared in 18 of them, meaning that 18 of the 77 websites have Colorado State in the NCAA tournament. And well, the biggest one would be, I think, Jerry Palm of CBS Sports, and also Mike DeCourcy of Fox College Hoops. He has Colorado State in. So those are probably the two biggest names and websites that have Colorado State in the tournament. But again, they're only in the tournament in the mock brackets in 18 of the 77 that Bracket Matrix brings in. Now, you look at the net rankings, and the NCAA is going to the net rankings here this season as really one of the main factors it's looking at. And Colorado State right now sits at number 55. Utah State is at 50. San Diego State's at 31. And then there you have Boise State sitting at 15. The net rankings love Boise State. Now, with that means Colorado State has two giant opportunities sitting in front of them Wednesday and Friday night. And one of the big numbers that the committee is going to look at within these net rankings is how you've done against quad one opponents. Now, most of you, at least some of you, might know what quad one opponent means, but all your games are divided into four quads. And obviously, quad one would be all your games against the highest level of opponents. A quad one game is facing a team that's ranked 1 through 30 in the net rankings at home, Or if it's a neutral court game, it's a quad one game is playing a neutral court game against a team ranked 1 through 50. And then a road game counts as a quad one game if the team is 1 through 75 in the net rankings. So the Rams sitting at 2-3 on the season with quad one games. So they already have two quad one wins. Of course, those quad one wins were at San Diego State, at Utah State. The three quad one losses were at San Diego State in game two, at Utah State in game one of that series, and then at St. Mary's. St. Mary's is a top 75 team. It was on the road, so that's also a quad one game. These games at home are against a team in the top 30, so it would be a quad one game Wednesday, quad one game on Friday. Of course, that's assuming Boise State doesn't fall off the map after this weekend. So what you're looking at is the last time here this year that Colorado State is going to get an opportunity at a quad one win. Wednesday is an opportunity. Friday is the opportunity. The rest of the schedule for Colorado State does not offer up any of those. At Wyoming, home against New Mexico, against Northern Colorado, at Nevada versus Air Force. Nevada is the highest ranked net team in the rest of that schedule. And I think I saw them at like 140. So you want resume building wins? These are your last two opportunities coming up this week, Wednesday and Friday, against Boise State. Now, again, I'll say it. You've got to continue to win. You can't go and drop a home game against New Mexico. You can't drop a home game against Air Force. You got to at least get one at Nevada, hopefully two at Wyoming. I mean, so you still have a lot of work to do. But this is a Colorado State team, with the two games coming up this week, real opportunity to firmly plant themselves right smack dab in that NCAA conversation. Man, they're kind of in it now, but if you can get two wins against Boise State, you're right there in the middle of that thing and are looking pretty good, obviously, with business to do against the lower half of the Mountain West Conference. So it promises to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Wednesday at 7, we'll go on the air at 6:30 with our pregame show with myself and Adam Nygon. Friday night, 9 p.m. is the tip-off. 9:10 is the actual tip-off. And we'll be on the air at 8:30 that night. So a lot of fun. I know fans looking forward to it as much as I am. All right, I wanted to talk a little bit about Colorado State women's basketball as well. And, man, I'll tell you what. If you have not paid attention to the Colorado State women's team, now's the time to start doing it because they are really, really good. Sitting at 10-2 in the season, they're 6-2 in conference play. And this is a Colorado State team that kind of rebuilt itself. I mean, let's be honest. They have a lot of Division I transfers, a lot of kids that are immediately eligible. And this is a team that had Tori Williams and Laura DeVos coming back, a couple of seniors. And then Ryan Williams went out and got some great transfers to kind of fit around those two. And man, have they been playing great basketball. They have a terrific point guard in McKenna Hoffshield that changes everything they do. It's really what the team had been lacking the last couple of years. She adds speed, quickness out front, playmaking ability. Hoffshield's a kid who started her collegiate career at Seton Hall last year, transferred to Colorado State. She's originally from the Minneapolis area, but she has made a huge, huge difference. And then you have a post player in Carly Murphy. She's a transfer from Wisconsin Green Bay. Sydney Meck, who's hurt right now, is a transfer from Denver, could be the best defensive player in the Mountain West Conference. I mean, you look at all these additions. Then you have Ellie Benai, a true freshman from the Spokane area. She's really, really good as well. So you have so many new players. And the fact that Ryan Williams and his coaching staff have been able to get them to gel so quickly, I think says a lot for the job that they're doing. But they're sitting at 10-2 in the season. They're 6-2 in conference play. And they're coming off a couple of blowout wins over Utah State. They won 90-59 last Wednesday, 88-73 on Friday. This is a Ram basketball team that really scores the basketball at a high clip. And they're now sitting at 6-2 in the Mountain West Conference, tied for first place with Fresno State, a team they've already played. Fresno State, the preseason favorite. They beat Fresno State once in Fresno, split that road series early in the season. So those two teams have already played. And now you get a huge matchup with Boise State. And it's a Boise State program that has represented the Mountain West Conference the last 3 years. Obviously, there was no NCAA tournament last year, but they've represented the Mountain West Conference the last 3 years at the NCAA tournament. That means that Boise State has done a great job of winning the NCAA tournament because the women's side of the Mountain West has been a one-bid league for quite some time. Huge matchup at Boise State coming up this week. Broncos sitting at 5-3 in conference play. They just got swept on the road at Fresno State. And the Rams sitting at 6-2, a full game ahead of Boise State. Wednesday at 2 p.m., Friday at 1 p.m. from Extra Mile Arena up in Boise. And Ryan Williams was on our Coors Light Colorado State Basketball Coaches Show last night, and he talked about what his team would be facing this week up in Boise.
Very talented team. They're a little younger than their previous year's teams, Brian, but they've got a big-time stretch post, you know, in McGuire, the transfer from Oregon, who's, you know, she might be one of the better shooters in the entire country. And she's all of, you know, 6'4", almost 6'5", and she's really a difficult matchup. She really can spread the floor because of how she shoots it. You know, they're always really athletic at the wing spots. You know, the Jade Lavelle is super, super athletic. And, you know, a legit WNBA pull-up. And, you know, they've always had really good bigs that play physical and rebound it. So their roster is very similar to years past. It's just maybe a little younger, maybe a little more, you know, inexperienced at the, you know, kind of the shooting guard positions. But we're going to have to really play well to you know, compete at Boise. Can we switch with Nico and play
that's
at
right.
home?
Yeah, that's, you guys play at yeah, home. And yeah. Let's send the men on the road. That's right. Yeah. I like the way you think there.
We've had really good games with Boise over the years. They've had our number here as of late. But, you know, last year here in Moby, really, really competitive game. I think an overtime game the 2 years before. So we've got to get over the hump. And, you know, defensively, that's where we're going to have to be better. You know, this is a challenging weekend for us defensively, but it's time that we do get better defensively.
Game number one coming up on Wednesday at 2 p.m. up at Extra Mile Arena there in Boise. Friday afternoon, a 1 p.m. start time. And Ryan, about a couple of minutes left here on the show. Fresno State beat Boise State last Thursday by 25. Game two was much closer. It was a three-point game. Again, Boise dropped both those games. Boise State went on the road at Air Force and got beat by 20 or something points, too. What do you make of that? Just kind of a lapse in concentration?
Well, I think they play a lot of kids, Brian. Especially, okay. It seems like the first night on these two-game series, they play their entire bench. And there's a lot of youth that is out there. And so, you know, maybe that's it. Let's hope maybe that first game they're kind of like that again. But it can get going downhill fast against a team like Fresno, obviously. You know, if you you've got to have the right plan against their zone and against their press. And if you turn it over, you know, they can really stretch it. Same thing with Air Force. They pressure the ball so much. So if you put some inexperience out there, you turn it over a little bit and the other team's making some shots, it can get away from you. But, Boise's really going to be ready to go for us without a doubt.
All right, Ryan, let me leave you with this. Give fans out there some of the keys, some of the things you're going to be looking for out of your team to give you the ability to go and get a couple road wins.
Yeah, I think first and foremost is, you know, our rebounding. You know, we've got to make sure that we can compete on the glass. So, you know, our bigs are really, really critical. You know, ball security, really critical when you play Boise because they can really get out and go in the fast break. But we've got to do a good job on Jade Lavelle. You know, she's as dynamic a wing and as there is in our league. And then McGuire. I think Lavelle, McGuire, if they, you know, they had two big games against Wyoming and they got two big wins. And if they have two good games, they're probably in the driver's seat. So we've got to have to control those two special players.
All right, there's head coach Ryan Williams and, again, his team on the road at Boise State on Wednesday and on Saturday. All right, let's wrap up the Colorado State Insider Podcast presented by the group with some Colorado State track and field talk. We'll be joined by head coach Brian Bedard here in a minute. We'll replay an interview we had with him on our weekly radio show called Ram Jam that I host along with Mike Brohard of CSURams.com. Of course, the Colorado State track and field programs, they have been humming, especially on the men's side. The Colorado State men's team won the indoor track and field Mountain West Championships last year. It was the third time in 4 years that they have done that. And unfortunately, for Colorado State, they weren't able to send some of their athletes to the NCAA championships due to the coronavirus. Obviously, some of the scheduling got pushed back due to that as well. But just this past week, down at the Air Force Invitational, the track and field program was back, and they fared very well down in Colorado Springs. In fact, the Rams saw seven new top 20 school marks here this past weekend, and the Rams won four events and had seven top three finishes. We talked to Brian Bedard before that meet, and well, he gave us a glimpse of what to expect here this season for Colorado State track and field. Brian, thanks for joining us. First off, just how excited are you, your coaching staff, the student-athletes to finally get this season going?
Well, our athletes are extremely excited because we've been training in a long time, jumping through all the COVID protocol hoops, so to speak. I think the staff is a little bit concerned about all the logistics. The Air Force Academy sent us about a 4 or 5 page document with all the COVID protocol that we need to follow when we're down there, and they're going to hold you to that, which is good. We want a safe event, but we got athletes coming off of training over Christmas break. Some of them had access to facilities, some of them didn't. Some of them trained here over break. It's just kind of a hodgepodge of people trying to make it work. And what I've been impressed with this whole time is, the student athletes I work, that I get the pleasure of working with, they just had a positive attitude this whole time, and were definitely more adaptable. I think our staff got more frustrated than anything, but luckily our student athletes, I think, supplied a lot of energy and motivation, and they're very excited to get going this week.
Give fans an idea, Brian, of what the last three, maybe even 4 months has been like since the student athletes came back to campus in August. What has the training schedule been like for your track and field team?
Wearing masks, social distancing, changing up what we do in the weight room and limiting numbers there, limiting numbers in the indoor facility. We have had a few cases of COVID run through, and with contact tracing, that's pulled out groups and stuff. And then when those athletes get back, they have to go through a battery of tests and stuff before our training staff feels they're ready to start training full go and even able to compete. So, but yeah, I mean, it's been a challenge like for everybody. But again, the resilience of the athletes and the great attitude has been a real motivation to me, to be honest. Our staff, behind closed doors will grumble about, how tough things are. But working with the athletes every day has been a real inspiration to me.
And Brian, I know the schedule is only three meets, but the athletes got to just look forward to competing. I mean, if they just went to class and never got a grade, they'd get a little surly. They about the same way in terms of athletic competition?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for the last week or two, probably 2 weeks, they've just been revved up to compete. And they really don't care, how many hoops they have to jump through and, what they have to do as far as mask wearing and social distancing. And we have got a seating chart for the bus and all these things. They're just excited to compete and really see where they're at. And I'm sure we're going to have some great performances down there, and I'm sure some kids will get a little bit of a wake-up call that maybe haven't trained the way they wanted to, and so that's okay too. But it'll be a really good litmus test for kind of where we're at as a team.
The interesting part of the schedule is, you have no Mountain West Conference championship, which is always a major carrot that you guys chase every year, but there still is a national championship. So I assume you have some athletes that have their eye on that and trying to cap a season at that meet.
We do. I think we have a handful of kids that are at that level that have the potential of going to an NCAA championship meet. So they're obviously eyeing that. And then we have, the rest of the crew that they're obviously excited to compete too. I mean, this invitational meet is no joke. I mean, we've got 12 teams that are going to be there, and it's probably a little bigger meet than I'd like to open up with. Because if they're not ready to go, they're going to get smacked. So, but it'll be a good challenge for us. And then the next meet is kind of a smaller meet at University of Wyoming. We get to go up there, try to get after Brian Berryhill, former staff NCAA All-American for us. So he invited us up there for a dual meet. anytime we go up to Wyoming, they are excited to beat us, so we're going to have to be ready.
Brian Bedard, the head track and field coach at Colorado State, joining us. The indoor season starting here this week down at the Air Force Academy. And well, Brian, give us a little bit of a preview. I know it's only a three-meet schedule, so it's a shortened schedule here this year. But, you know, your men's team has won the Mountain West Conference Indoor Championships three of the last 4 years, including the last two. The women's team coming off, I think, a third-place showing last year. What do you expect from your two teams here this year?
Well, I think our men's team, it was a young team last year, and I even made quotes after the indoor championships. I mean, we made some mistakes as a team, but what I loved about that group is they really stuck with each other and just competed hard. We didn't always execute, you know, the best, but just love their competitive attitude. And they really rallied with each other and supported each other. And so it was a really competitive group. So, and we got most of those guys back, including Eric Hamer, which is huge for us. He's, you know, he's an All-American distance kid for us. To get him back, it really helps us out. And then on the women's side, you know, we got smacked a little bit in the indoor championship. We took third and, but we get, you know, most of the team back, and then we get to add some folks, some transfers and so forth, and new recruits. So I think I'm really looking forward to our outdoor season, because we had some athletes elect to, because of the COVID, you know, we lost the outdoor season last year, and these seniors made a decision to come back, you know, the Haley Showalters and Maria Musial and some of those guys to come back and help us out, you know, this year. So I'm really excited about our outdoor team on the women's side. They're going to be hard to beat. They're going to challenge for a championship.
Hey, Brian, do you almost look at this as coming full circle? Because if you look back at last year when COVID really hit, it was Eric Hamer and Taryn Sieg down in Albuquerque. They were geared up for the indoor championships when the meet got canceled and then everything else started to shut down. Does it seem like a full year of just craziness that you've gone through to get back to this point?
It does. It almost seems longer than a year. Yeah, it's been a roller coaster. You know, you think we're going to get going with some things, and then we have just setback after setback, and you start making plans, and another setback where things change, or COVID restrictions increase, and that's just the way this. You know, unfortunately, this virus is so unpredictable. It's been a challenge for, you know, at every level, and there are so many levels that are making decisions. That's what makes it tough. So yeah, it's been a long haul. I mean, everybody's going through it, and hopefully with the vaccine coming out, it'll help help the situation. But yeah, it's been a long haul. We just look forward to, you know, some sort of normalcy and competing, getting out there and competing and kind of showing what you're made of and where you're at is part of getting back on track. So everybody's excited about that.
All right, one final thought here for Brian Bedard, the head track and field coach at Colorado State, as they start up their season here this week. Hey, Brian, we had Doug Max on the program last week, of course, retiring from Colorado State Athletics. Doug, nearly two decades as the head track and field coach at Colorado State, the position you now hold. Can you speak a little bit to what Doug has meant to the Colorado State track and field program?
You're talking about somebody that bleeds green and gold is Doug Max, and you know, he recruited me out of high school. He did a home visit to my home and brought me on as a student athlete and mentored me there. And then hired me a young guy with no experience and was patient with me and mentored me along. And his servant leadership is the hallmark of what he's about, his legacy. He left and he's touched so many lives and really, you know, helped me out in my career and gave me a shot and mentored me and was patient with a rookie coach, you know. Doug's just super important to our program and to my life personally.
Yep, you bet. Brian, thanks so much. Best of luck coming up here this weekend and the rest of the indoor season, and hopefully we roll right into the outdoor season. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate your time. Appreciate you letting me on. Thank you.
All right, that's head coach Brian Bedard, Colorado State track and field. What a job he has done, and Well, congratulations on the great showing down there at the Air Force Invitational. Also, Colorado State cross-country team got going as well. They had a duel up in Cheyenne against Wyoming last weekend, and both the men and the women absolutely dominated that dual meet against the Cowboys and Cowgirls. And, boy, how about the Colorado State men's cross-country team? The women are going to be much improved this year, but the men nationally ranked at 21st in the nation, and the men's cross-country team picked to finish first and win the Mountain West Conference. The conference championships come up in Vegas early March, and Art Seamers doing a great job there. And by the way, Art Seamers will join us coming up on Wednesday night on Ram Jam. That starts at 6 p.m. on our flagship 102.9 in Northern Colorado. You can also find it on the Power 102.9 app. You can download that and take all the Ram games with you. All right, that's going to do it for the broadcast. What a time it is to be a Ram basketball fan, whether it be on the men's or the women's side. It's certainly going to be a lot of fun watching those two teams come down the stretch. Thank you to everybody that helped out with the podcast, including Brian Bedard, Mike Brohard, Nico Medved, Ryan Williams. For everybody, Ryan Roth saying so long. We'll talk to you next week right here, the Colorado State Insider Podcast presented by The Group.
This has been the Colorado State Insider with Brian Roth. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Colorado State Sports Network, powered by Canvas Credit Union.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.